Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
I'm Mark, and in this podcast we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're continuing with Björk's 2004 album, Medulla, and you can classify it as a cappella, avant-garde, and experimental, and it was released off of One Little Independent Records.
You always try to correct me on that.
What's the album's themes or concepts?
You know, being human and motherhood and civilization and
just
things about life.
And today we're doing At Bjørtan.
Who is it?
Submarine.
And Desired Constellation. Hmm.
But first, we got to tell you about some missed opportunities.
Yeah, I want to hear them.
So, in the last episode, I forgot to tell you about the Stahl Quartet and their version of Pleasure Is All Mine. And it sounds quite epic, if you ask me.
Yeah, and they play some really interesting instruments.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Also, in my research, I found that Björk had sang Fokuro with the harp in Reykjavik for a special performance in 2006.
How could you have missed that?
I don't know. She's all over the place.
And we forgot to tell you about the Tree of Signs sculpture in Urdaholt, Iceland. Urdaholt.
Iceland.
Have you been there to that sculpture?
No.
Me either.
It was made in 2008 by Gabriela Fredriksdottir and in Paris, and it was meant to symbolize harmony and collaboration.
And it uses the same font as Medulla, and the Medulla necklace Björk wears on the cover that looks like bones.
Black bones.
Black bones.
Yeah. And the designer of the font said the font used for the work. He said it doesn't create borders, but rather offers possibilities, because, you know, they curve and it's like,
unlike
they're not just
regular letters.
Rigid.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about At Bjørtan. No.
Okay, At Bjørtan. It wasn't released as a single and it did not chart independently, thus, so.
Yeah, but the title, At Bjørtan, translates from Icelandic to All the Shine. And interestingly, the song features Björk singing in a self-created gibberish language reminiscent of her early songwriting days when she wrote songs in gibberish due to shyness.
Hmm.
What other songs would you say that she's scattered in? Ew.
I would say Human Behavior and Venus Is a Boy.
Yeah, and I found another song where she does this, and I actually want to share it at this very moment, because
one leg is Easter, one leg is Christmas, you come and visit me in between the holidays.
Sorry. I just...
Is that from In Living Color?
Mad TV.
I mean, Mad TV.
Alex.
Yeah, Borstein.
Yeah, she describes it as an attempt to break through a wall for the light to shine in, symbolizing a deep poetic expression.
And some fans refer to this song as Hal Tutu.
Yeah.
Because it's in the song.
Yeah. And Björk literally said it's about her finding her light as a shy teenager and walking in Iceland and singing in her own way that no one else could understand. But you know that already, because we already talked about that.
Yeah. What's your favorite lyric?
My favorite... Well, given that Atbjerten is sung in a personal gibberish, pinpointing specific lyrics is challenging.
I see.
So...
What sounds do you like?
I like the emotive delivery and the vocal nuances that convey profound feelings.
No, what kind of song? Like, what are the sounds? Since it's gibberish, like, are there any parts of the gibberish that you think sound cool?
Haltutu.
Okay.
Yeah. Atbjerten. I don't know.
Could you recite the gibberish now?
I can't. I don't even know this song that well.
Okay.
Well, to give you some notes on production, it just sounds like she sings on a looping pedal and has some fun with it. Just a little ditty. Just layered vocals singing classic Björk gibberish.
And the song is notable for its minimalist a cappella arrangement, which aligns with the overall theme of the album.
Mm-hmm. So, get this. Björk both performed and programmed the track, showcasing her innovative approach to music production.
I mean, I guess that was a bigger thing back then than now, where everybody has access to all the tools and...
Yeah, you know. Well, the singing starts off quiet and it builds up in dynamics until she's screaming your little ears off. You know?
Yeah.
Are there any remixes or covers of?
Yeah, take a listen. This was the only one I could find, and I searched a bunch of different places. It's the Alaric remix. Take a listen.
Yeah, I fucks with it. Anyway, there's a fun fact I gotta tell you. The JPEG Mafia sampled this song for their 2015 track, Japan.
And Hanako Chanel. Hanako Channel did a mashup with Ryuichi Sakamoto. Take a listen.
Interesting. So, you want to talk? You got any jokes? You want to do jokes?
No, I don't know one for this song. Do you?
No. Do you know a cocktail?
Yeah, it's called the Fritz Martini, and it is gin, vodka, vermouth. So, kind of martini stuff till now. Some orange bitters, but then it has olive oil. You were saying that you went through a phase where you just put olive oil in all your cocktails.
Yeah. It gives it an extra shine. Well, that brings us to... Who is it?
What's the full name of the song?
Oh, who is it? Carry my joy on the left, carry my pain on the right.
Hard living. It was released as the lead single from Medulla on my birthday, October 18th.
Happy birthday.
2004.
Yes, put it in your calendar.
The song achieved notable chart success, peaking at number 6 in Spain and number 26 on both the UK singles chart and the Italian charts. We were saying earlier that Spanish people like fun.
Yeah, and humorous things.
Yeah.
There's a definitely a humorous element in this song.
That's where that song...
That comes from Spain?
Yeah.
Oh, makes sense. Well, I want to tell you, who is it? Was written with electronic artist Bogdan Rosinski.
And what else have they done?
Bogdan Rosinski?
Yeah.
They have a new album out, actually, called You're Only Young Once, But You Can Be Stupid Forever. It was originally going to be on Vespertine, and it was called Embrace Fortress, but it wasn't the vibe, so she left it off.
And the song explores themes of unconditional love and support, which are often interpreted as a dialogue between a mother and child.
Yeah, the lyric poses introspective questions, reflecting on the sources of unwavering support in one's life. Bjork's emotive delivery enhances the song's exploration of a deep personal connection. Yeah, so she wrote it when she was feeling whole again and strong after Dancer in the Dark. So, Vespertine was about the healing process and falling in love, while Who Is It? It's about being healed and in love with someone that restores your confidence and security and all the elements that made you that queen. Yeah. Yes.
Are there any lyrics that stand out for you?
I like Who Is It That Never Lets You Down? It really shows the essence of the song, inspiring listeners to reflect on the long-term supportive figures in their life.
Who are the long-term supportive figures in your life?
Bjork. I don't know. Okay, so when someone knocks on her door... She sings Who Is It the whole song.
Okay. I like carrying my joy on the left, carrying my pain on the right.
That's cool.
Because I like to compartmentalize.
Yeah, and you also think it's...
Watch it.
It's a nice reference to how the left side of the brain controls emotions that deal with engaging with the outside world, and the right side of the brain controls the emotions that deal with processing negative emotions. But I think Bjork is more of a right-brained bitch. Yes, I do. You know? Because they say the right side is creative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well... to tell you about some production, the track features contributions from throat singer Tanya Tagak and beatboxer Razel, adding unique textures to the composition. What did Bjork say about Razel again?
She said...
Because she said that he did this beat in one take, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like it gives the song a hip-hop vibe.
Well, I think that the little bass... might be by Mike Patton and Peter Van Hook.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Anyway, electronic duo Matmos also contributed incorporating fruit machine noises into choruses using synthesizers, which Bjork later imitated with voices.
With voices or her voice?
Maybe her voice.
Okay. And there's also some...
What's a fruit machine?
Fruit machine.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure that out. I think it's a casino slot machine.
It's not a machine that gives you fruits. Okay. Anyway.
I mean, a blender, I guess, could be a fruit machine.
Hey. There's also some programming from Mark Bell and Valgeir Sigurdsson.
Cool.
Okay, do you know of any remixes, though?
Yeah, there's the Bell Choir remix, which is, you would say...
I'd say it's Christmassy for sure.
Okay. Then there's a Vitalik remix, which is giving electronic hipster.
Yeah. Sometimes you're giving electroclash hipster.
No.
Yeah.
You don't say electroclash anymore.
Okay.
You say electronic.
Okay. Sorry.
It's not PC.
I don't understand. Well, there's another remix. The Eddie Adam remix.
Which is my favorite. Take a listen. Okay. What else?
There's the C2N data cassette, or data set mix by Lesser. And I say it's giving like gamer ravey hip hop. But did you know that Lesser used to live in San Francisco and he was involved with Matmos and that's how he got introduced to Bjork?
Like involved?
No, I think he made music with them.
Music?
Yeah. On the skin flute. Anyway. So, Fruit Machine. There's a Fruit Machine mix by Mark Bell. And, it's like the album version, but it's more playful and bouncy, especially the bass.
And then there's the Bogdan Rosinski.
Yeah.
Shooting Stars and Asteroids mix, which is the closest thing we'll ever come to... Really, you think it's the closest thing we'll come to a Bjork Aphex Twin collab?
Yeah, because...
Tell me.
There's over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's they? All of them?
I mean, you never know. I guess it could happen.
Okay. Bon Iver?
Nah. So, this indie band performed a cover during 2011 concert in Brooklyn, and it was subsequently recorded for an iTunes live session, but I'm just gonna say it's a disappointment salad. No shade.
You eat a lot of that?
I sure do. I get force-fed it, actually. Well, there's also the Kurt Elling cover, and he's a jazz vocalist, and he included a rendition on his 2015 album, Passion World. Who never lets you down? Who is it? Who gave you back your crown? Yeah, this one is interesting take on it. It turns the song into a morning show theme.
Then there's a couple of covers by... you and my favorite co-host, Jesse, and his alter ego, Jesse Covers.
Yeah. What about it?
I think it's emo without trying to be emo.
Yeah, emo was pretty big when I was growing up. So it just came to me, you know?
Uh-huh.
When I first heard it. Yeah. Speaking of me, I also did a little Who Is It remix, if you know what I mean.
Can we listen to that?
Sure. Okay, so now we got the music video. That's a whole story.
That's a whole story. Bjork's basically like an uncut penis made out of
bells.
And then your head pops out.
Anyway, it was directed by Don Shadforth. It features Bjork wearing a bell-shaped dress, which was designed by Alexander McQueen. So she's supposed to be a bell.
Okay.
Yeah. So the dress was...
What do you call the round thing in the bell that hits the sides?
The tonsils? The uvula?
That's what it's called in bells?
I don't know. I'm just making things up.
Well, Bjork's head is supposed to be that ball.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'll say. Look it up.
Ding-a-ding. Yeah, the dress was later showcased in Bjork's MoMA retrospective in 2015 and sold for £44,000 at a London fashion auction in June 2016. And I actually saw it up close in person.
Aww. That must have been cool, because now it's in a private collection and no one will ever see that dress again.
I know.
The video was shot in early September in 2004 in... Help me out here.
Here left shoften. Shofty. Shirfty. Here left is shofty. Shofty. Here left shofty. Shirfty.
In Iceland, which is on Inselberg in the southern coast of Iceland. Yeah.
What's an Inselberg?
It's like when the coast cuts in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leaves this, like... It's, like, just the shape of the coastline.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think some of the 2016 Star Wars film Rogue One was shot there.
Oh.
For all my Trekkies out there.
Hjör leifhöði.
Okay. Hjör leifhöði, Iceland.
Okay.
Anyway... Don Shadforth has directed videos for Moloko, Garbage, Jamiroquai, and Kylie Minogue.
And the video uses... God damn it.
The Bustarda Kietka Bell Choir version.
Who are also in the video.
Yes, it's the little children in the leotards with the bells. That's a fun story. Anyway, did you know she sold tote bags that reference the song for her MoMA retrospective?
When I saw this, I presumably pictured her on the street, like with an armful of tote bags, and she's in one of those little shacks at a food festival.
And that's pretty much what she's doing.
Yeah.
Well,
tell me about live performances.
She first performed Who Is It during the 2001 Vespertine World Tour in Italy. Before its official release on Medulla.
How much before?
Just like 3 years, I guess.
That's a long time.
So, yeah, most of this album she performed live before she recorded it.
Mm. And this performance has an intro sung by Inuit, the Inuit chair from Greenland.
Choir. From Greenland.
I thought it was like the chair of the Inuit tribe.
No.
It could be that.
Yeah, so it's the choir that she toured with for the Vespertine. Anyway, I like the performance she did on Canal Plus in 2004. It sounds very stripped down and fun. My heart. And she also performed it on the Giles Peterson show in 2004 with the Bell Choir.
And the last time she performed this was in 2021 in Iceland. At what? Just like a...
It was her orchestral concert.
Okay. Tell us a joke inspired by this song.
Why did Bjork's song, Who Is It, get hired as a detective?
Why?
Because it always asking the right questions. You don't get it? Well, I guess that's too deep for you.
I think cocktails are more my speed.
Yes.
And this particular cocktail is Can I Speak to the Manager? Why do you think that's a good cocktail for that title? Is good for this song?
Because she wants to know, who is it? Is it like... and she's ringing that bell. And it's just like... just calm down.
Okay, so this has 2 ounces of gin, some Campari, some lemon juice, some simple syrup, an egg white, 2 dashes of orange bitters, and sparkling white wine.
Sounds good. So I say knock knock.
Who's there?
No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Okay, you say knock knock.
Knock knock.
Who is it? It's the next track, Submarine.
All right, this was not released as a single. You must have been such a bully as a child.
What?
This was not released as a single. What is it about?
Well, it delves into themes of awakening and emergence from a state of dormancy. So just like, who is it? It's all these like wake-up calls, you know? So Bjork has mentioned the song reflects her feelings during her pregnancy with her daughter, Isadora, describing a period where her creative energies were in hibernation.
And the lyrics serve as a call to shake us out of the heavy, deep sleep, which symbolizes, like, you know, reawakening of all parts of you.
For sure.
Including your artistic self.
Yeah. It seems a bit about hibernation. And jumping back.
So we're going to a new rap segment. Okay.
Yeah, jumping back into the groove of things, like when you go on a long vacation and then you have to motivate yourself to get back to work, like a wake-up call. Wake up, bitch.
And Bjork has mentioned before how she has submerged Arctic passion, which is like in-your-face introversion.
Talking about. Anyway, we're just gonna move on to the next segment, which is lyrics. Now, I'm gonna tell you about my favorite lyrics.
Okay.
It's shake us out of the heavy deep sleep. Do it now.
Shake us out of the heavy deep sleep. Do it now.
Why do you like it?
It seems like a sticker you'd see on the street. But, yeah, it just shows the essence of the song, urging an immediate awakening from a prolonged slumber.
Seems to be a theme.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Tell me about production.
I also want to say that maybe because she was living in America at the time, and maybe their culture is different from, like, Europeans, where everybody just seems like they're sleepwalking.
In Iceland?
In America?
Oh, yeah.
Compared to...
yes.
Iceland or London? All right. Well, I'll tell you about song production.
Tell me.
The track features the distinctive voice of Robert Wyatt. I think that's how you pronounce it. Whose contributions add a unique texture to the compassion to the composition. Can you stop taking pictures of me, please? I can't concentrate. I look like my grandma. Anyway.
I didn't see it and then I saw it.
Wyatt is an English singer from the band Soft Machine, and he's a paraplegic because he fell out of a window in the 70s at a party.
I almost did that.
Really? When?
In Seattle. Yeah, in Seattle.
You almost fell out a window?
Yeah. University Ave area. I had a friend who had a loft who was throwing a party, and I broke the window because I had, like, leaned against it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Were they mad at you?
Yeah.
Damn. All right, well, after his accident, he started doing solo work and more experimental work, like his 1991 album, Donde Están, which people would play in pubs to annoy other patrons. And this is known as Wyatting. So that's interesting. Anyway, he quit music in 2014 just because.
And Bjork collaborated with Robert Wyatt, recording his vocals in his home studio. Yeah. What do you think it is about his vocals that
he just has a unique range, you know?
Yeah.
So the collaboration was recorded in Wyatt's home studio, capturing an intimate and organic sound.
The home studio I just talked about, like a minute ago?
Yeah, the one, so Bjork said after she finished Medulla, she felt something was missing, so she had Robert Wyatt in mind, and she called him and went to his house, which was 3 hours north of London, and he played her some Bebop Sun Ra, recorded in the early 60s, while she DJed some DAF and Brian Eno tracks on her computer. So, I don't know. I guess he had to be there. Anyway. There's a remix of this.
Yeah, it's called the Redo Remix. R-I-D-U. Take a listen, it's cool. And good thing it's good, because there's no other ones that I could find.
Yeah.
It would suck if the only one was bad. There's also an unreleased piano version. Will it be time
to... Yeah, it was featured in the documentary of the inner or deep part of an animal or a plant structure, which chronicles the making of Medulla.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, we watched it. In preparation
for bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. I didn't realize it at the time, but songs like Submarine and this album actually had an influence on the music I was making at the time. As a poor boy growing up in Sacramento.
It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child.
Wait. What are you doing?
Go on.
Anyway. I didn't have a lot of resources or tools to work with, so hearing this album showed me how you can make music with just your voice and other strange mouth sounds. Yeah. Do you have a joke?
Why did Bjork's submarine never get lost?
Why?
Because it always followed the sound waves.
Okay.
I forgot to do a cocktail for this song. What would you... Something submarine. Would it either be yellow or it would be dark blue?
It would be something that would make you sink into your chair.
So like a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, no. It would be blue, kind of dark. Yeah, something to knock you out. Tequila. Okay. I don't know. Submarine. Anyway.
All right, let's move on to the next track, Desired Constellation.
It's slippery when your sense of justice.
Yeah, this wasn't released as a single.
And what's the song about?
It explores themes of introspection, longing, and the human desire to make sense of complex emotions.
Do you get the desire to make a sense of complex emotions?
Yeah.
Okay. Then, sold.
The lyrics.
The lyrics convey a sense of seeking alignment and understanding in the face of personal turmoil, using celestial imagery as a metaphor for finding one's path.
Celestial energy.
Celestial. And we were talking about that, how, like, even though the sky looks like just this random tons of stars, in reality, everything's orbiting.
Tons of fucking stars.
Everything's orbiting and on a path. So.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Yeah, but I'm curious what she's really talking about here. I wonder if it has to do with how Lars von Trier treated her and was changing her songs in Dancer in the Dark, and she just felt like she lost all creative control, maybe.
How was he changing her songs?
He was, like, adding lyrics and cutting things out.
Damn.
No.
And she didn't like it.
No, she was like, this is the way I made it. Don't mess with it. That's, like, a chef seeing a customer, like, just, like, you know, totally mess with the food. Put ketchup on it. I don't know. I know in Italy they don't like it when you do stuff like that. Because you're insulting the chef. The chef wanted you to eat it the way he prepared it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Or maybe more politically driven, since she was living in New York City at the time and Bush had just decided to invade Iraq.
Yeah, sad face. And, well, the lyrics.
Tell me about the lyrics.
With a palm full of stars, I throw them like dice on the table until the desired constellation appears.
Until the desired constellation.
I like those are my favorite lyrics also.
Yeah. It really portrays the act of attempting to shape one's destiny, reflecting the universal desire to find order amidst chaos. Sorry.
I see it more like you throw them on the table until the right desired constellation appears. It just, to me, it's like, keep trying until you find your light, girl.
It's like astrology. It's written in the stars, honey.
All right, let's talk about sound production.
It definitely sounds like shimmery and fuzzy ambience, like you're bathing in a cluster of stars.
Okay. She made this song with Oliver Allery, a.k.a. Ensemble, who's an experimental electronic composer.
Yeah, Nick Knight's show studio asked Olivier Allery to make music for a collection of old Guy Borden films, and one of the videos sounds like Desired Constellation, so tell me if I'm wrong. I don't know.
And I just showed you on Show Studio that they just did a David Lynch.
Oh yeah, go thing. Check that out.
So check that out. The music was made when Allery was remixing different tracks from Vespertine.
Yeah, sorry about my bong rip. The foundation of Desired Constellation is built upon a sample from Björk's earlier track, Hidden Place. Specifically the phrase, I'm not sure what to do with it. Hey, calm down.
Sorry.
All right.
Your love was sent to me. I'm not sure what to do.
Well, yeah, the samples looped to create a hypnotic backdrop over Björk's ethereal vocals.
There it is.
And it results in a minimalist yet emotionally resonant soundscape.
And Ellery said, I made a loop of a tenth of a second of the word sure that Björk sings on Hidden Place, and I added harmonics to arrive at this timbre. So it's with 1/10 of a second of Björk's voice that he made this piece.
Yeah.
And she didn't know that, right?
No, because when she was working on Medulla and came up with the lyrics to this song, she tried to arrange it for a choir to make it fit in with the album's vibe, but it wasn't working out. So she said, fuck it. I'll put the album out how it is, you know? I don't care. And then Ellery was like, well, wait, because the song's actually made with your voice, so you can calm down. And she had no idea, and she felt better about, you know, kicking the choir one to the curb.
And I love happy endings.
And being, and just putting this song on the album. So, yeah, it really worked out. Although, you know, I wonder if she... I'd be kind of mad, because I was like, I worked on this thing this whole time. But
With the choir?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta learn to let things go.
This is part therapy session for you.
There's a lot of remixes and covers of this song, though, you know?
A lot. So there's Ben Frost's School of Emotional Engineering mix, which kind of sounds like the original one, but it has more ambient, experimental kind of vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the choir mix, which is...
It's very Philip Glass, and it's got that lovely throat singing you like.
Mm. And then you did a remix, didn't you?
Yeah, in like 2005 or 2006 or something, and I put a beat on it, and that's pretty much it.
Put a beat on it? Yeah. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Oh, let's take a listen.
Okay.
Well, there's no topping that, but...
Maybe Todd Edwards might type that. And to my surprise, yeah, the great Todd Edwards did a rare remix of this song, and it comes from his XLR 8R mix from June 24, 2010.
And Neon Paradis did a version in the style of Vespertine, which is very cinematic and your favorite magical.
Yeah.
And emotional.
Yeah. And then Agency did a really nice vocal rendition. And there's also Lucia Micarelli. I really enjoy the string interpretation here. It's just beautiful. There's so many.
So many. And... Including one that you did recently.
Yeah, I did a cover recently, and it reimagines the song as an indie rock track. I mean, I tried.
Let's see. Was he successful? Yeah. I'd say, good job.
Thank you.
Kudos.
Give me my flowers.
And then there's a few more remixes. There's the Pridham remix, the Galvanized remix, which sounds kind of bedtime story-y. The Todd Edwards and Louis Obando remake, which I like. And then the Robert Frederick redesign edit, which is really nice too.
So many.
So many.
Well, that'll bring us to trivia or fun facts about Desired Constellation. Did you know there's...
You sounded like Napoleon Dynamite.
There was a visual for this live performance. For the 2003 tour, there was a video accompaniment for it. It was created by Design Collective Lynn Fox.
Either there's like an orgy outside or...
And it features abstract imagery that complemented the song's ethereal and introspective nature.
And Lynn Fox did the visual for Pluto, which featured Icelandic actor Ingvar Eggert Sigurdsson, who is not only willing to strip and simulate masturbation in the film, but also agreed to shave his head.
What are you talking about? We're talking about Desired Constellation. Anyway, he just goes off like that sometimes. I'm sorry. Anyway, Björk performed Desired Constellation. The first time she performed it was in 2003 for her Greatest Hits tour.
Repeatedly. And throw them on the table.
And for her performance on Canal Plus in 2004, her voice was sampled live and it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I like
Let's take a listen.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Do you have a joke?
No. Oh, yeah. Why did Björk become an astronomer?
Why?
Because she wanted to arrange the stars into her desired constellation.
Go in there right now and just start telling people that. Like, work your way around the room.
You tell... What do you... You got one for me?
I'll be on the other side saying things like... What did the star get when it came in last place? A constellation prize.
You'll get hired for all the weddings.
I'll just leave. And they'll be like, who was that? Anyway, is there a cocktail?
Yes, it's called the Desired Constellation. And it's tonic water. Oh, yeah, it's called the Desired Constellation because you told me that something iridescent or
bioluminescent.
And so you can't really drink actual bioluminescence.
Why not?
Because they're living organisms. They fuck you up.
Ah. The more you know.
But tonic water, anything with vitamin B2, Sprite, 7-Up, or Mountain Dew, all kind of glow under black light.
All right. Well, let's transition. Or not.
What's the next episode?
We're going to talk about Oceania. Sonnets and Unrealities 11. Mouse Cradle. Oh no, Ancestors and Mouse Cradle and Midvukdags and the Triumph of a Heart.
Is that five songs?
And basically we're just going to talk about the end of the album.
But is that five songs?
Yeah, but two of them are short. So it'd be like three songs or four songs. There's only two music videos. Yes, honey.
Okay. All right, welcome to the after show. How are you feeling midway through Medulla?
Good. I mean...
It's a tough...
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
It's got too many songs. I think it could have been shortened down. Like I said, she chose quantity over quality on this one. I just think she could have done better. But, like, you'll see next week, we'll talk about this one song. And it's like, why, though? But, I mean, other than that, there's, like, good music videos, nice dresses, and, so, like, it's a fun place to be, but I just don't want to stay there very long. Not as long as their other albums, you know what I mean? Post, yeah. Homogenic. Yeah. You feel me? Bye. Bye-bye.